This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. This message is a warning.
Everyone, hang on!
Karabast. Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions.
Let's go get him.
All right, if I tag along?
I'm on my mark. Get down!
My name is Rex.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down. My gut tells me this is a trap.
Everywhere we go, we run into those guys.
Kenobi!
To defeat an enemy, you must know them.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Embrace your destiny.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
He was my master.
Ahsoka, why did you leave? Do you know what I've become?
Yes, Master.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Myers.
That's right, folks. Rebels Reactions is back. Thank y'all for listening. I am one half of your hosting team. I'm Aaron Harris, and I'm so glad you are able to join us today. And, of course, joining me is, of course, the better half of this game, David Myers. David, how are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. How you doing over there?
I am doing well, thank you for asking. Doing well. So, a lot going on with Star Wars in general right now, so we're not going to waste any time. First off, I just want to take a quick moment, and I know this is going to be the final installment of the Mortis arc that we discussed from the Clone Wars, which the great Randy Theriot had joined us for the discussion, and we'd split it into two episodes, and the first part aired, the second part never did, and here's the second part we're about to give you. I just want to say a quick sorry to everybody listening, and of course to you, David, as well, for the delay in this episode getting out. I had it ready to go, and long story short, my kid erased it, and I had to redo it after I found the hard drive that had the show on it, because I'm packed up and going to be moving in a week, so... that kind of made it difficult to relocate the hard drive, but we got it. It's edited. I had it set up to go, and then we had a plethora of news posts, and I figured, you know what? We need to discuss it and just include it with the episode. So we're not going to waste any time. Let's get right into it. Rebels has been on a winning streak when it comes to awards. David, have you been keeping a track of that?
Absolutely, yeah. At the end of June, the Saturn Awards. And I think they won last year. So I think this is the second straight year. They won for Best Animated Series on Film or Television, right? So Best Animated Series or Film on TV is the proper way to say it. But that's incredible. Remember looking at a picture of Dave Filoni sitting there with Tia Sirkar there holding on to the big award. It's a pretty cool looking thing, and I'm really glad they won.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled to hear that they won. I mean, this should come to no surprise. It's an excellent show, or else we wouldn't be sitting around talking about it. But congrats to Dave Filoni and the cast and the crew who worked tirelessly getting these episodes out and entertaining us the way they have. Just is well deserved and well earned. And to go along with that Saturn win, when the Emmy Awards nominations were announced this past week, Rebels actually received three Emmy nods nominations here as well. So I mean, they are just racking up the nominations now.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I love that this show that we love is getting this recognition on such a big scale.
Absolutely. And I got the list right here, and we'll look over these real quick. So Star Wars Rebels is nominated for Outstanding Children's Programming. So basically the same as what they got from the Saturn, the Best Animated Series or on Film or TV. So Best Outstanding Children's Show. So that's awesome. Outstanding sound editing as well. So great job by the sound crew there. This next one actually is my personal favorite. And David, I know you know why, and the listeners will know why when as soon as I say it. Star Wars Rebels was nominated for Outstanding Music Composition for a Series.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I tell you, this is long overdue for Kevin Kiner. He deserves this award. If you're listening, if anybody on the Emmy committee is listening, you shouldn't even have to vote. Just give it to Kevin Kiner. He deserves it. Some of the best music on TV has come from that man, from Rebels and before that, the Clone Wars. He deserves every award that can be given to him. So I can't wait for the Emmys to happen and see what the future holds for them. And hopefully those trophies will be coming back to Lucasfilm where they belong.
I agree with that, man. I hope they go 3 for 3.
It would be great if they did. I hope they do too. So it's going to be well-deserved for a great show. And speaking of great shows, this is probably the biggest news that we've had in years. There's been a lot of news coming out this week. Just to recap some of the others, for reference period, with the time we're recording this segment, discussing this news, it's day two of it's day one of San Diego Comic-Con. They had the preview day yesterday, and today is full-fledged day one of San Diego Comic-Con. So to give you a time frame, a point of reference of when this was recorded. This week they also announced Billy Dee Williams is going to be in episode 9.
Yes.
The original Lando is coming back. Hoorah for that. So that'll be fun. Exciting to see what they do with him. In episode 9. It looks like I just blanked on her name too. The girl from Felicity looks like she signed on for episode 9 too.
Carrie Russell.
That's yep. It. Carrie Russell. Yep. She signed on for, episode 9 as well. So that's exciting. So it looks like it's coming at us full steam now, episode 9. So that'll be December of 2019 when that's released. But the biggest news, David, the biggest news broke this afternoon.
I was following on Coffee with Kenobi. I'm telling you, buddy, I had a break today, and I knew this panel was going to come on 11:45 Pacific, but 2:45 here for you and me on the East Coast. And so I happened to have time to follow Dan Zier's live tweeting. I followed all of it. And he capped it. Dan capped it with quite a video, and so I loved it. I was watching right in real time with that coverage from Coffee with Kenobi.
Oh, I tell you, I was at work, sitting at my desk, and my phone was sitting there next to me. It had been quiet all day, and then all of a sudden, it went berserk. It was vibrating. It was dancing across the desk. I'm going, what in the world is going on? And I pick it up, and all I see is, and I'm trying to, I got hundreds of notifications just popping up left and right, and I'm going, what is going on? And I'm seeing all these things, all these people commenting, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's finally happening. We did it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, what happened? What is going on? And then I see this hashtag Clone Wars saved. I'm like, what? And then about that point, I get a new notification from the Star Wars app.
Oh, yeah.
Saying Clone Wars is coming back and to watch the trailer on YouTube. I go, what? So I unplug my iPod real quick, plug it into my phone, pull up YouTube, watched that trailer. And I got to tell you, David, by the end of it, when it pulled up the Clone Wars logo, and then, of course, we had the Anakin walk out and talking to Rex, why'd you call us back? Then the holographic Ahsoka turns around. Been a long time. Mm. My hands were shaking and my eyes were tearing. Oh, I was an emotional wreck the rest of the day.
Oh, exactly. I mean, like, I saw a lot of people tweeting, thanks, Dave Filoni, for decreasing the productivity for everybody across the country at that point. Nobody could focus on their work. And absolutely, I was tearing up just like you. And I just think about our heroes and how much we love them. And just the music that they played, you know, we've heard that before. Mm-hmm. And just powerful. I was just cheering. I was so excited. And it's just the best news that Star Wars fans could get right now, because of all the toxicity that's been out there. What a palate cleanser. What is it? 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 31 seconds of just deliciousness. Incredible. Incredible, Aaron.
You know, you brought it up, and I would, with all the toxicity that's been out in Star Wars fandom lately, and you're not going to hear that kind of talk from us. We're going to focus on the good parts. We're going to focus on the fun, which is what Star Wars is supposed to be. But with all the negativity that's been out there and all the criticism of Lucasfilm, of Kathleen Kennedy, and of everybody at Lucasfilm, and how they don't care about the fans, I'm sorry. This is their mic drop.
Oh.
This is the ultimate mic drop. You cannot tell me they don't care about the fans. They listened, and they're bringing back the most popular show on TV, period. The Clone Wars is coming back for a 7th season. It will be a 12-episode season that will debut on the Disney streaming service next year when it comes out. Of course, stay tuned, of course, for all the latest details. On that, you can stay tuned to, of course, CoffeeWithKenobi.com and to the main show, Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z, of course, who will have all the latest news as it comes out about what's going to happen with Clone Wars when it does return. I'm sure we'll get some Cup of Clone Wars with that as well. I'm pretty sure of that. So we are going to have a lot of fun, a lot of good things to look forward to in the future when it comes to Star Wars.
Oh, well, and Aaron, I don't know if you and I have been trying to, you know, be at work and try to catch up on all this stuff. A couple things I want to mention to you real fast is the number of people wanting to know the premiere date and when can Disney take my money, right? There's a lot of those comments. And
really? I already sent them a check.
It's already there. Huh?
It's already there. I called him up, said, do you take an e-check? About a debit card, credit card, firstborn? Oh,
that's quick, Aaron. That is quick. And hey, you know, and you talked about the mic drop. I was following along and I saw Leland Chi tweeting, and he says, I don't want to mess it up. Leland Chi says something like, I think Dave Filoni should hold a panel on how to hold convention panels.
Boom.
It was great. I mean, you and I were there last year for the panel, the final one for Rebels. And just, you know, you and I have documented it on the show here, just how great Dave is and changing shirts and just messing with people. And just, he does such a great job. And this was incredible. I was expecting Aaron. I was like, where's Jat? You know, right? Where's James Arnold Taylor? Where's Dee Bradley Baker? I'm just waiting for them to come out on stage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, but with this, I didn't see this coming. Even Amy Ratcliffe, who hosted it, right? She's one of our co-hosts on Lattes with Leia, right? I don't know if you see hers, Aaron. I know you and I are playing catch up here, but she said she didn't know. Dave Filoni and Ashley Eckstein and all of them didn't tell her that they were going to show this clip, and so she was just in tears as well. So pretty cool.
I'm so excited, one, that she got to do this panel, because if I met Amy at Celebration, wonderful person, beautiful human. I absolutely love Amy Ratcliffe. And so I'm so excited she got to do this. There's nobody that deserved it more. And for them to keep her in the dark and for her to have that fangirl moment right there on stage.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how, ultimate of professionals, she was able to finish the panel after that. I would not have been able to. I'd have been a bubbling idiot, which is pretty much what I was the rest of the day at work.
Well, think about how cool that is for Filoni to do that for her too, though, that she could still be a fan. She hosts it, but she could still have, like you said, the fangirl moment. And how cool is that? That is just awesome.
Oh, it was incredible. It was completely awesome. I just have one request.
Uh-oh.
I have one request for these final 12 episodes.
Okay.
At some point, somebody needs to go to Ryloth. And somebody needs to show me Chopper. Because by this point, the battle, that whole Battle of Ryloth is over. His Y-Wing has crashed. So Hera has him.
Oh, yes.
So somebody needs to get a clone troop, send Rex on an outstanding mission, or on their way, on, or at the end of the, at the end of the arc when Ahsoka and Rex are making their grand escape after faking their deaths. They go off and wind up passing through Ryloth and bump into Chopper.
Oh, my gosh.
Please, that's all I ask. Give me the chop.
I think they will. I mean, you know, within the 12, they got 12 of them to do it. Well, there's still – it sounds like some is in production, right? The way Dave Filoni was talking, he's very pleased with the production. We just need to blow up his Twitter account and, you know, say, you know, not save Chopper, but please bring in Chopper into the Clone Wars. Yes.
Exactly. It was perfect. I'm so excited to see where this goes. I mean, Clone Wars is responsible for bringing me back into fandom. So, cause I got into that about the third, beginning of the fourth season. So seeing this come back and just seeing everybody returning, knowing Matt Lanter's back, knowing Ashley and Kat Tabor and James Arnold Taylor is back as Obi-Wan. He posted a video on his Instagram earlier today after the announcement was made, and he's growing his Obi-Wan beard out.
And it looks
sharp. It looks real good. And he's like, you know, everybody's asking how I feel about it. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm happy. He's like, I've had to sit on this for a while. So he's known this for a while. And the fact that this had to be the best kept secret in Hollywood.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, even when they try to lock down the sets for the movies and stuff always leaks out. Pictures always leak out. Somebody leaked something out. Oh, so-and-so was here today. Okay. No, there wasn't any indication that this was happening.
None. And you could tell on Twitter, everyone's legitimately surprised.
This was the best kept secret in Lucas, in Hollywood history.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad they were able to do it, because to be able to really surprise us at this panel, again, really, really, I hope, turns the tide of, like I said, what's been happening lately. But like you said, we're not into that. We never have been, never will be. And I love some of the Twitter responses I've been reading over the course of the day. Like, I loved one of them that says, "My summer is made." And I'm just like, I just love that, you know? Looking at E.K. Johnston, who wrote the Ahsoka novel, I've been looking at some of her Twitter things. One of them was, "I have so many feelings now," because she does talk about it. And I told you just before we got on the air, I just read that very first section of her novel. I've read the whole thing, but, you know, Ahsoka's there on Mandalore. And you know, she tweeted out, she goes, "I don't have anything to do with this, but I love it." And so it's so neat to see that for her as well. But just good feelings all around. What a great day in Star Wars history.
Oh, it was. I mean, and it's going to be a day that lives in infamy for a while. This is going to be what is talked about. This is going to be, it doesn't matter what else comes out of Comic-Con right now. Lucasfilm and Dave Filoni just took home the Shock and Awe trophy. I mean, there's If somebody could get up, on stage and say, "I'm going to give $1 million to every person in the United States," nobody's going to care because we're getting Clone Wars. So,
oh my gosh!
So, with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to jump right back into our Clone Wars Mortis arc discussion, the final piece of that with Randy Theriot from Legends Library. This is Rebels Reactions. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. And right before the break, we fielded the statement that the conversation that Randy and I had via text to the floor, put it to David. And David, go ahead. Tell us what you think of the text and the broken system that was created here.
Right. Something that's been, we've seen it throughout Star Wars fandom. And in fact, this Mortis arc was one of the first times I remember this. And you and I have addressed this, Aaron, in the two previous episodes, that it brought a lot of controversy, this Mortis arc. Does it change people's views of the Force and so on and so forth? And so, when Randy presents, that kind of schizophrenic type view between the son and the daughter, I hear exactly what he's saying. And I do think, and I give Randy credit for this, it does seem there's inconsistencies there in how Lucas kind of couched, good and evil, light side, dark side, dealing in absolutes or dealing in relativism. And so I think, like Randy said, it's almost like Lucas is bumping up against himself here a bit with some inconsistencies. I've heard that in the fandom before, in things other than the Mortis arc as well. But in this case, if you take it from this from a psychological point of view, one of the first things that I would share is this. Again, I'd love to be able to share this and maybe get our listeners thinking a little bit. Dr. Aaron Beck is the person who probably has formulated my thoughts the most. He's still alive at 96 years of age. He's at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's considered the father of cognitive psychology. I'm reading a book of his right now called Prisoners of Hate, and in it he talks about the cognitive basis of anger, hostility, and violence, not only on an individual level, but also on an international level, why countries go to war. And I've said it many times to my clients, it feels like this book should be named, Dr. Beck's Insights into Life. And one of the things he says at the beginning of the book, Randy and Aaron, is he talks about a universal dilemma that humans face, and we see it represented in what Randy was just saying, and that is that the universal dilemma, no matter what your background is, white, black, Hispanic, you're born in a different country, you're born here in America, is that we are social beings and we want to be connected to others. However, when we do that, it makes us vulnerable to being hurt. So there's the dilemma, right? We want to be close, but we can be hurt if we do get close. And so Randy mentioned this a few minutes ago. We see Luke at the end of the Return of the Jedi, make an absolute decision. He makes a decision that is, the opposite of what the Jedi said, don't form attachments. But yet when he makes that absolute decision to choose love and to choose sacrifice, it wins the day. It turns the tide, like Randy said, and, it allows Luke to take a stand and win. The Emperor is defeated and we have the celebration on Endor. So that was pretty clear, it seemed like, at that time. I'm glad that it's shown that way, that Luke does make that decision, and it isn't consistent with the Jedi or the Sith, right? It is something different. That would be consistent with this Mortis trilogy, right? They're something other. They're Force wielders. They're not Jedi and Sith. Even the brother scoffs at Anakin, the Jedi and Sith, we'll destroy all them, So it's neat to see Luke make a decision that again, I guess, would in essence be consistent with what the Mortis arc is trying to say, that there's something bigger out there. Luke makes a decision that's bigger than what the Jedi and Sith are thinking about. But again, going back to the psychological perspective, Luke makes a decision to be attached, to show love. And like Randy said a few minutes ago, you see that change Vader, and he chooses love for his son, and love is what ends up, you know, defeating the Emperor. So, so those are some thoughts. Does that help clear it, or is it clear as mud? I don't know.
No, I feel like it does. I think that's, I think, David, that's very articulate, and, not just, to be completely transparent, not just because you agree with me, but because it seems to check out as far as the rules of Star Wars and, you know, what we understand to be truth. And so, yeah, you're right. And then it's like, it's not the tumor. Like, I have a brain tumor here. Like, it's not the tumor.
We got a Kindergarten Cop reference this time. Yeah. Hey, what do we know?
Yeah.
There we go. This arc's so bringing out the best in us. So,
so good.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, we see a plethora of Force powers being used throughout this episode, which ties right into our discussion of the chain, ever-changing Force, because not only do we see the traditional Force powers, the Force lightnings and stuff, we see Ahsoka as a Padawan having a Force vision. We see Obi-Wan having a Force vision and seeing Qui-Gon, which kind of surprised me with this, because, you know, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, he seemed surprised that Yoda was able to commune with Qui-Gon. But yet he had a discussion with Qui-Gon here about Anakin. That, of course, so Anakin has the Force vision, of course, of himself, which winds up being the sun coming out of the water. But then we see him, he has the conversation with Qui-Gon as well. And then, of course, we see the transformative nature of the daughter and the son. I almost said brother and sister. They are brother and sister, but daughter and son. As you're able to transform, of course, the daughter into the griffin and whatever that is the son transforms into, the baddish...
The gargoyle.
Is it a gargoyle?
Yeah. That's what it says in here.
Okay.
Right? That he transforms into the gargoyle.
That works.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking in Jason Fry's, Star Wars, The Clone Wars episode guide, and it shows Griffin, right, for the daughter, and Gargoyle for the son. Yep.
Perfect. Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. So we see their transformative powers throughout the episode, but one thing that always struck me as peculiar for this, as powerful as they were, they were able to, you know, and I believe Randy, you mentioned earlier, the father was able to, you know, grab the tip of the lightsaber and just kind of turn it off, push it back down to the hilt and deactivate it with his bare hand. And we see these incredible powers, but yet there's one stone sword that has the power to kill them. What would you think is? I mean, that's the one part of the story that's always confounded me, is how that sword is able to be the end all be all for them. The only way to kill them, outside of dying of old age, apparently. What are your thoughts on that, Randy?
I think it's because, I haven't considered this, but I think maybe it's because that weapon was forged within that world. And when you bring a lightsaber into, you know, from the outside into a supernatural world or supernatural environment like that, it doesn't have any power. but possibly that it's that sword and that dagger was forged within that world, and that's why it's effective against beings from that world. And you know, possibly, you know, that's, and we go back to that kind of Arthurian kind of thing, like that you had talked about, Aaron, last episode that you guys had, about the whole idea of the imagery of like kind of an Excalibur, and only the worthy, you know, Jedi could touch it. Like, they couldn't wield it themselves, right? Or whatever. And so, they couldn't touch it. They couldn't retrieve it themselves. But that was like a checks and balance kind of like, but somebody could come, and if these guys got out of hand, somebody could come and, you know, and take these guys, you know, take them out or whatever, with a weapon that's forged from their own world. That's my thoughts.
Very good. Very good. We see a lot of similarities in Mortis to we've talked a lot about the world between worlds, but just in the general setup of Mortis, we see a lot of similarities between world between worlds. I mean, that world in Rebels, the world between worlds, we have it's just a simple path with the different portals on each side, amongst the star grid there. And we see some of that almost reflected in Mortis, in the courtyard where Anakin is tested to control the son and the daughter. And he's tested by the father. At the end, where the father winds up killing himself before Anakin kills the son, it was one of the star pattern and the lines on the ground, very reminiscent to what we see in that world between worlds area. David, what are your thoughts on those similarities reflecting into Rebels?
Yeah. You know, couple things I was thinking about. One is, I know that you had the question about the dagger. I, of course, one of the questions I have is, what's the deal with the sword? Or not the sword, but what's the deal with, you know, the sun not being able to get off this planet or this entity or this area? Why do they need a ship? You know, they can do all these different things and transform and shut down lightsabers, but they can't, you know, leave Mortis. That's a question I have, but again, it's kind of consistent with why is there this dagger. I do see it consistently, like Randy does, that it's just almost there for a series of checks and balances. Going to the question you asked, I you know, back when we were doing our review of the final episodes of Rebels, one of my final thoughts was, I felt like, you know, Dave Filoni and crew really set themselves up to tell anything, to go anywhere, by creating this world between worlds. It opens up everything. It allows, you know, stories to be told, characters can come back, you know, time is not an issue. And it just seems to me like it just really opens things up, storytelling wise. Now, in terms of this connection, one of the things that I was wondering, you know, after watching these Mortis episodes multiple times, and then of course, like you and Randy, watching A World Between Worlds several more times yesterday, I was looking at this, and then I just started asking questions like, you know, do the father, the son, and the daughter, do they travel? You know, here they are, the symbols on the side of the wall, right? Just, you know, and again, watching the episode, it's, I don't know if you remember, it's Minister Hayden, you know, or Haydan, who's voiced by Malcolm McDowell. And he's trying to quiz Sabine on the meaning of the father, the son, you know, and the daughter. Apparently, per him, he said what? The Jedi Temple archives had the images of the father, son, and the daughter in it, you know. So obviously when the Emperor took over, they go into the Jedi Temple archives. The other thing is, he says it's these symbols, the father, the son, and the daughter are what? Throughout Jedi recorded history. And so I start to then wonder, you know, are they actual entities that actually can travel through time and space, maybe like Anakin and Ahsoka and all them, they're actual people. You know, are they what we call placeholders for each of those kinds of things we talked about before, light, dark, and balance? I know that gets a little bit heady, but it starts to answer some of the questions of why they don't leave that area. They don't need to leave the area. They're just, there needs to be balance. But I love that Dave Filoni bring this back around, and he does make the effort to tie all of this together to make it one story. One of the questions I would ask, bouncing off of yours, Aaron, is this, and I'm looking at it in my little book here, is, you know, I wrote a question, what happens in Mortis? And then I ask, it seems like it's now more played out in the galaxy, you know, with the characters that we love. I mentioned a few minutes ago that when the daughter dies, apparently the power of the Sith was accentuated. Then when the son dies, you know, the dad says there's balance again. But it almost feels like what happens in Mortis is then transferred, or not even transferred, but it's always happening anyways in the galaxy. So this is a fascinating thing. You know, is it real or not? Now, something I just wanted to mention to you to kind of get our brains going even more. Now, I mentioned to you that I watched the featurettes for all three of these, right? That's at StarWars.com.
Yeah.
However, right, on the Blu-ray, and I've mentioned this to Aaron off air, on the Blu-ray, when you watch the featurette for the Mortis arc, it's about 2 minutes long. In fact, the featurettes on StarWars.com that originally aired back in the day in 2011 are longer than that. And Dave Filoni makes the statement, if you notice on this Blu-ray or DVD, the featurette here is shorter than probably any other arc. Most of the other arcs are, you know, the Umbara arc is like 14 or 18 minutes long, and they explain the whole thing. But Dave Filoni says, we have answers to the questions you have about Mortis and the Force. We have them. But, you know, we played them out in our heads. He's talked to Lucas about it with Christian Taylor. So there are answers. But Dave Filoni has said this about not just the Mortis arc, but other things. Is there still mystery? If we explain everything, is it not fun anymore? And so that's something that I've been thinking about too, as we've done, you know, this arc, that, you know, I mentioned this at the end of the last one, you know, the mystery is maintained. You know, the Mortis arc gets us talking like we have here, but it's there's still mystery, and that's fun, you know. And do we want it all fully explained? You know, I guess sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, right?
Right.
You know, but anyways, I now, just to let you know, it'd be curious to see, you know, if ultimately Dave Filoni answers some of those questions, or if he and George Lucas say, well, no, let's just keep the mystery, you know?
Hmm. Well, mystery is big in Star Wars. I mean, we've always liked mystery and mysterious stories, mysterious people. I mean, that was one of my major attractions to Boba Fett when he was introduced, was the mystery behind this helmeted figure, bounty hunter. It's a mystery, and it's a mystery everywhere. So I always enjoy that. So, you know, it could be one of these mysteries that we just might not, you know, find out eventually. What are your thoughts on that, Randy?
I think as a prideful person that has opinions, I want to know if I'm right. Right. but that's the need for tell us all the backstory, tell us the rules of this environment. But the fan in me loves that it's unknown, and that there is somebody that does know all the answers. So it causes us to pursue what that might be. But I love the fact that it's unanswered and it's questioned, and that of all the like pontificating that I've just kind of laid down for the past hour, that it could be absolutely incorrect. And the fan in me is like, all right, you know, like, what is okay, then what's the rule, you know, that let's go back to the drawing board and let's dig in again. But to respond to the question as far as the Mortis itself, I do feel as though it's a closed environment, that that it's And it's proven by the fact that the rule is you can't leave. And what does the son do? He does everything that he can to leave. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's a closed environment. And I would even say there it's not necessarily a finite place in time. Mm-hmm. And so there, I wonder, did Obi-Wan come back and describe this, you know, the father, the son, and the daughter describe this, and then they place the image in the Jedi Temple as per his description?
Because Randy, I don't mean to interrupt you guys.
Yeah, go ahead. No, please do.
No, because I was going to address this with Aaron, because he mentions Obi-Wan talking to Yoda at the end of episode 3. I watched a couple of the, I think two of the four episodes of that Yoda arc that ends the Clone Wars, right? Mm-hmm. And in the episode Voices, where you see a scene, Yoda is out, he's at the Jedi Temple there on Coruscant, and he's out by that tree, right?
Right.
And Anakin comes walking up to him, and before he gets to Yoda, Anakin hears Qui-Gon's voice. But then he just kind of dismisses it, and Yoda speaks to him. He goes, "Oh, hi, Master Yoda." And he starts talking to Yoda. And Yoda looks up at him and says, you know, in the backwards, you know, sentences, you know, "Spoke to Qui-Gon on Mortis, you did," or something to that effect. And Anakin's response would help us to understand Obi-Wan's response to Yoda in episode 3, because what Anakin says is this, is, "Well, Master Yoda, you know, Obi-Wan and I talked about it, and we've just kind of dismissed it. We just thought it was, you know, part of a dream or a figment of our imagination." So that would then make it consistent from, you know, the Clone Wars into episode 3, what Aaron was just saying. But then your question, right, begs the question, well, then how is this in, you know, the Jedi Temple, you know, in the Jedi Temple archives, unless, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan didn't look at it? But Obi-Wan's a Jedi Master, so he has access, right, you know, to,
right,
to all those,
right,
holocrons. So I love your question. That conversation between Anakin and Yoda in the courtyard there at the Jedi Temple helps, you know, keep it consistent with episode 3. But your question, then, why is it that Minister Hayden says this? You know, it's throughout Jedi recorded history. Not sure why Anakin would say that then. We're just dismissing this father, son, and spirit, unless it just was blocked out. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well, let's look at it like this. I mean, in the first episode of the Mortis arc, the father says they implies they used to roam the galaxy, but pretty much forced themselves into exile because of people wanting to use the powers the wrong way. So there's, I mean, Jedi's really keeper of the peace for 1,000 generations. These beings could have encountered the Jedi. They could have encountered the Sith 500-600 generations ago. And that impression could have been made that they used there in the temples and put the engravings and stuff in the temples at that point. Because from my understanding of the arcs and Rebels, that temple, those stone temples, those paintings on the walls of the father, of the son, and of the daughter were there for a lot longer than it would have been the Clone Wars. So this could have been something that Jedi Masters 500 generations ago, 600 generations ago, could have had that encounter. And of course the council at that point could have made that decision or held them in such high regard and high respect that it could be that they put them on the walls of the temple. Here's going to be my Star Trek reference for the day. Star Trek One, the motion picture, probably the worst of all the movies. we see the Enterprise battling or exploring this massive probe that's coming home, and it winds up being Voyager, blah, blah, blah. But we see the officer, I can't think of his name, but we see the officer who Kirk relieved of command, basically merge and evolve into a new species by combining himself with V'ger at that point. So how do we know that these beings, the father, and the son and daughter, how we know they're not the next step of evolution for the Jedi and the Sith?
Oh,
wow.
Well, and now that I think about it, when Yoda does ask Anakin in that episode of Voices in the Clone Wars, he doesn't ask about the father, the son, and the daughter. He just asked, did you speak with Qui-Gon? You know, and of course, Obi-Wan and Anakin did. But it sounds like they just talked about that. You know, they just talked about speaking to Qui-Gon, and they dismissed it. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, that it is throughout Jedi recorded history, but maybe it's something that, you know, like you said, for the most recent 200-400 years, maybe, you know, a lot of these Jedi Masters didn't look at that a whole lot. Maybe it was dormant for a while. But, of course, Anakin and Obi-Wan both know Qui-Gon. So, you know, Yoda asks him. And, of course, that's who's speaking to Yoda as well through the Force. But I like what you're saying, Aaron. I like that. It keeps the consistency throughout the timeline. Yeah. So, interesting.
All right. So I want to go over one thing here. At the end of the third piece, or the third episode of the Mortis arc, when it comes time, we see the father and the son. The son's ready to leave, and he's basically taken out Anakin and Ahsoka and Obi-Wan. And the father uses the Force and gets the dagger from the son, the only dagger that can kill him. And of course the son laughs and he's like, what are you going to do? Kill me now? And the father comes right out and he says, no, I'm not. And he goes, I hoped you would have resisted the dark side, but you didn't. And then I'm doing what I must, and kills himself. And then all of a sudden we see the son have pretty much an emotional breakdown. He's like, you didn't have to do this. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And the father's like, oh no, I had to. You and I are bound together. Your strength runs through me. And when I die, I'm taking your power so you can't leave. And the son is like devastated. He's like, Father, please, please don't die. I don't want you to die. And then the father looks at him and goes, I knew there was good. I knew there was still good in you. Then Anakin runs him through. So very much mirroring Luke, I mean, the father-son relationship there, almost in reverse, where Luke is looking at Vader saying, I know there's good in you. And we have the reverse in this. What are your thoughts on that, Randy?
Oh, my. At one point, I'm wondering, is he genuine? Is he mourning the loss of his father, or is he mourning the loss of his power, or is it both? But judging by the father's response, we could probably safely conclude that it was the loss of his father and it was almost like no, that's my role. I'm rebellious. My role is to fight the rules. My role is to escape, to do the opposite of what good is. That's my role. That's my role. And now you've called me on it. And I didn't intend this. This is our game. You know, I try to escape even though we all know I can't, and the Force isn't going to let me. This is a closed environment. No one can get out of here. Even the people from the outside at this point can't get out because the Force hasn't willed it. So this is our game that we play. I try to escape. You keep me from escaping. That's kind of what we do. But whoa. And now you're going to take your own life. That wasn't part of the plan. That's not part of the game that we're playing. And I think that's why it was a shock and a surprise to the son. So, and then part of me in my like creative or my like geeky, like how many does this play out over and over again with every person that visits, where this and every person over the generations generations of Force users that have frequented this place or that have been given the opportunity to enter Mortis, is this the same scenario that plays out every time balance is needed? So I guess that's something to consider as well, and maybe that's why the father, the son, and the daughter are kind of immortalized by the artwork in the Jedi Temple.
Very good, and that ties right into something I was just thinking, because I got the final episode just finished on my iPad while you were talking, and when the father dies, he kind of vanishes. Just like we see Yoda do, just like Obi-Wan does, he just vanishes.
Mm.
And you bring an interesting point: is this something that's cyclical? That every time balance is needed, they bring somebody in to restore balance. What if the father was a Jedi of old that was brought in to restore balance between the light and the dark? And the son and son and daughter are those who are the true representations of the Force. So we're talking about the light side, the dark side, in constant conflict. And they brought in an ancient chosen one to restore balance, and he stayed and restored balance. And this cycle was time for the cycle to flip again. And Anakin should have been the one stepping in to take over, while the old Jedi passed away and moved forward. I mean, that's a very interesting idea, and I'm glad you brought that up, Randy, because that was went right into what I was thinking as I saw the father just kind of vanish at that point. What are your thoughts, David?
Well, I go back to something, and I'm, again, looking at Jason Fry's book, and I mentioned this two episodes ago when we went over Overlords, right, the first episode of this arc. And let me read what Jason Fry had to write. Of course, we all know, you know, him as a like a uber Star Wars author. He's incredible. Yeah. Right, you know. And by the way, a super nice guy to meet. Here's what he says for Overlords. A mysterious force draws Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka to a planet ruled by a trio of supremely powerful force users. For eons, the father has kept the balance between his daughter and son, who embody the light and dark sides of the Force. Now, he wants Anakin to take over the task as the long-prophesied chosen one. So just like Aaron said, there's the daughter and son who embody the light and dark side, but the way that Jason Fry wrote this, it seems like the father has been that. I've asked that question: is the father the chosen one right now? And as soon as he dies, like Aaron said, of perhaps old age or being around for generations or eons, now he wants Anakin to take over that task as the chosen one. In essence, take over what I've been doing, which is I'm the chosen one. You take it over.
Hmm. Wow. And so you think his intent was to keep Anakin there to kind of, for lack of a better term, babysit his kids, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that Anakin was to bring balance to the galaxy, like that was his, to the Force on the outside of this environment. And those events had to transpire for I guess to test and to confirm that one is the chosen one and has the power to bring balance. But balance existed already before within this environment, within Mortis, balance existed already. Mm-hmm. And so the bet, I don't know. That's a great question, David.
Keep in mind too that they even said at the end of the first episode after Anakin passed the test, the father came out and said, you are the chosen one. It's your job to replace me now. He said that in the episode, and Anakin's like, no, I'm not doing that. Then at the end of the episode, after he's killed the son and the father's dying, he looks at Anakin's like, you've restored balance. We've restored balance to the Force here. And you will do it again in your galaxy. Because there's no need for him to restore balance there anymore because it's restored. So he knows he's going to go back to the galaxy. He's go back to the Clone Wars, and he will eventually restore balance to the Force again. So I love this episode. I just love this arc.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is so good.
So good.
It keeps us going on so many different levels. I love it. But yeah, it's all right there in the episode. His goal was to have him stay, and Anakin didn't want to. And I think that caused a chain of events that occurred, which ended the Mortis world as we know. And let me throw this out here as a premise for you guys. What we see in the world between worlds, since Mortis at the end of the third part was destroyed by the father and son and daughter being killed, we see Mortis being destroyed. We see the floating rocks crashing into the planet. The large crystal above the palace falls and shatters, and as everything's being destroyed. What if the world between worlds is all that's left of Mortis?
Okay. All right. So there's three different locations at one point I was kind of using them interchangeably, then understood that that wasn't necessarily true. We've got the location, the pyramid, the location at the end of the Jedi Apprentice trilogy in Rebels, right? Is that the correct one where Vader Twilight of the Apprentice, right?
Yeah.
So there's that location. It's a pyramid shape that looks very similar and kind of like two tones or just kind of 2D kind of, it's just suggest the shapes and the environment suggested by lines.
Mm-hmm.
We have the world between worlds that opens and closes depending on the will of the Force or the power of the person outside trying to get in, right? Mm-hmm. We have Mortis. It's another location, and then we have the place that Yoda went to, which would be a fourth. That was like completely, supernatural and beyond anything that we have seen. I think they're all separate things, and I think they all fall on different points in the timeline. There are some resources, if I may, like kind of point listeners to. And I've mentioned them before on our show, but it's just out of fairness because, some of these ideas are things that I've come up with, but a lot of this stuff is stuff that I've read as far as the philosophies and timelines and all that kind of stuff. There's a resource created by a guy by the name of Nathan P. Butler, and he has written an incredibly comprehensive timeline of the legends, and he spent years, I think it's like 10 years compiling this timeline, and it is huge, and it starts all the way back to the Celestials and all of that kind of stuff, so it goes way far back, and so it explains the Thoyor arrival and all that kind of stuff. If you have an opportunity to go back and listen to Legends Library and listen to a woman named Lisa Mountain, who has been a guest on our show a couple times. She's a listener that has become a participant because she is so very kind of educated on the early uses of the Force, and it really came to light in the conversation we had about Into the Void a couple months ago. And so she's very knowledgeable about that. And so if you have an opportunity to kind of check out Lisa Mountain, it's Lisa Mountain. She's really knowledgeable about that early portion of the timeline. Alex Damon is another guy. He's got he does Star Wars Explained, and he does a full like Legends timeline. He goes all the way back to that Thoyor arrival and the time on Tython before the light and the dark split. And so those are all resources that I would that I've had a blast kind of tearing apart, and that has kind of informed me as I've formed these opinions. You know, we're just a conglomeration or an amalgamation of our influences, right? And so these very intelligent people have influenced me and have given me information to kind of form my own opinions about these things. I think it's only fair for me to mention their knowledge that has given me knowledge about kind of what we're talking about tonight. I think they're all separate locations. I don't feel like they're the same location. I feel like they're four separate settings to tell the part of the story and to accomplish the will of the Force.
David, what do you think?
I like what Rainey said. Yeah, I was just trying to visualize that, you know, kind of what you said, Aaron, and really listening into what Rainey said. You know, Randy is so much more knowledgeable about the, the Legends aspect. You know, he mentioned Nathan P. Butler. Nathan P. Butler and Mark Herleman are on a podcast called Star Wars Beyond the Films. They're both excellent. And just like Randy said, the thing that Nathan created was this, it's called Star Wars Timeline Gold. And,
yeah.
Right? And it's just,
yeah, that's the one.
3,000 pages or some. He's been doing it since I think he was 16 years old. I think, is that right? Or 18. And I think if you double it, he's 36 now. So he's done it half his lifetime, he said. So, but I, you know, just like Randy said, there's some incredible resources out there. I think just thinking on my toes right now, is the World Between Worlds a remnant of what Mortis is? Gosh, I don't know. I, it makes more sense to me, like Randy said, that it is separate. And that it is a place that does tie all these universes together, and that it's probably not going to be destroyed like maybe the Mortis area was. It, like I said, it almost feels like what was happening in Mortis is transferred into the galaxy that we see and the characters we love. That's right. The feeling I have, you know. And so then we see it played out with Anakin and Luke and all those kind of guys. So, yeah.
Perfect. Excellent. Some great ideas and great discussion throughout this whole episode. I know we're getting short on time, so let's go ahead and start wrapping things up a little bit here. And I want to go ahead and ask you guys a quick question. And of course, we'll start with you, Randy, of course, as our guest. For Mortis overall, looking at the Mortis arc overall, what is your favorite thing that came out of the Mortis arc that influenced the saga as we know it?
I would say my favorite, I don't know if it's, and I think I've kind of already shared, but I think to be able to say it in just a couple sentences, I think it exposed just the depth that we have the opportunity to go to delve into. I talk about, you know, Into the Void. I mean, this is our fan opportunity to just dig deep into philosophies and the creative world that George Lucas created, because he influenced, you know, he was still in control. This is still his baby at this point. And so just to see, you know, the average fan be like, oh, I love Star Wars, how, you know, Luke blew up the, you know, blew up the Death Star and stuff. And, Luke, I'm your father, ha ha, you know. But, you know, it's for us, you know, that we can spend 2 hours talking about a cartoon and completely losing ourselves in this conversation because that is the depth of the creative genius of George Lucas. And I'm grateful that we got to see the depth of it, that we got to see this much depth to his creative universe. Luke mentioned to me today, my co-host, he mentioned to me today, he says, I'm a Star Wars fan because, you know, I love to get lost in the galaxy of Star Wars because I can escape the yuckiness or the suckiness of this world. And that is absolutely true. And that could not be any more true than just delving into the depths of Mortis. And it gave us permission to do so. And that's my favorite thing. And that's why I was begging, you know, begging you to, that's why I invited myself onto this show, you know, because I'm like, please let me talk about Mortis, please. Because that's how I feel. It's my favorite movie of Star Wars. Like, I love this. I love this topic. I love these three episodes. I love everything about it.
Perfect, perfect. And you always have an open-ended invitation, my friend. You've done so much for the show. Anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. I mean, David,
you're very kind.
We will be love to have you on. So, David, same question for you, my friend.
Yeah. You know, I made a list, you know, after you said, you know, what are the ramifications of the Mortis arc on Rebels as well as the saga overall. I've got a long list here, but I'm going to focus in on the sacrifice. We talked about that a few minutes ago related to Luke and Anakin. But I think, you know, it starts with the daughter sacrificing for Ahsoka. And we see that played out quite a bit. In A World Between Worlds, I was, again, you know, all of us have watched that recently. And, you know, Ahsoka's like, oh, that's Morai, you know, right? Is it M-O-R-A-I, the Convery? Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I owe my life to her. Well, that's the daughter, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I think about the daughter sacrificing for Ahsoka. I think about the father sacrificing to take away the son's power. And then I wrote down, I think about Anakin sacrificing for Luke in Return of the Jedi. So again, these ramifications across the saga, but that, you know, like I said, good over evil, something that, you know, Randy, you know, got us talking about, and the juices flowing, our brain juices flowing, good and evil, but then the issue of sacrifice and how that is so meaningful to us. You know, that's what I really take from this Mortis arc. And in essence, it seems like the daughter and the father really modeled that for Anakin, and then we ultimately see it, like I said, take place years later in episode 6, Return of the Jedi. So, sacrifice, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And both great takeaways from Mortis. For me, what I enjoyed the most about Mortis and why my favorite takeaway from Mortis influencing everything is the fact that it's our first glimpse and I mentioned this before, it's our first glimpse of the Force not being solely for the Jedi and the Sith. That it goes beyond that. We have Force wielders out there, and it opened up the door for creatures like Bindu going forward. And I love that because it expands the, no, I say the user base, I guess you could say, of the Force, and I absolutely love that. This has been such a fun discussion. Randy, I do appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. If somebody wants to continue talking Star Wars with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can catch us on Twitter at Legends Library. If you want to throw me an email at legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com, that would be really cool. Check out our show coming up. Actually, we're recording tonight. When we're done here, we're starting the first episode or the first book of the Legacy of the Force series, and we're really excited about it. We're talking about Betrayal, written by the late great Aaron Alston, so we're taking our first step into a larger world, or first step into a 9-part series, a longer world, I guess. So it'll be next year before we finish the Legacy of the Force series, but it's something that we've been very patient getting into, and this is our first month talking about it. And so there's that. And I guess that's how you can get a hold of us and engage us in conversation.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. I know you've been waiting on the Legacy of the Force for a while now, so I'm excited to hear y'all's discussion on that as it goes forward. So definitely thank you so much for joining us, Randy. We'll be right back. Perfect. We would thank you so much, Randy, for joining us. That was a great conversation. And our conversations are going to continue because, David, we got email.
The name's Rex. Now let's check some emails.
Let me guess. From our old nemesis, Willard Tarkanis.
I never really would consider him a nemesis per se. Well, he's more like that gnat that just keeps buzzing around your head. You just keep swatting at.
Oh yeah. So he's back.
He's back. What would Rebels Reactions be without an email from Willard Tarkanis? And he did email us back, and he said, "Hey Aaron, hey David, Willard Tarkanis here. I thought Rebels Reactions was over." Kind of like when Wolof Tarkin blew up Alderaan. It was over. But I guess, like the Rebellion, you guys have hope. And all that stuff I detest. Anyways, I'm writing in to torment both of you. Get used to it. I don't have any comments about the Mortis arc. Okay, well, I guess I do. Wolof Tarkin sees exploring Mortis, the father, the son, and the daughter via Minister Hayden's report from Lothal before the Jedi Temple disappeared after those pesky rebels interfered is a waste of time. Exploration of this quote-unquote Force stuff is only worthwhile if Tarkin and the Empire can weaponize the portal between worlds. I need to stop talking and giving away Wolof Tarkin's secrets. Don't be surprised when I write in again, especially when you cover how great the Empire and Stormtroopers are. Yours truly, Willard Tarkanis.
I've been getting some emails from him as well. He's referencing episode 6, and he's calling me Rebel Scum. So, you know, it's a constant barrage. This guy, I think, you know, like you said, he's the gnat. He won't go away, and he was very disappointed, apparently, when Rebels Reactions came back. He doesn't like it for some reason. He's really against Rebels and our podcast. But, yeah, I think he's going to write in more, but I'm not going to block him. I'm just going to have fun with him. So we'll probably hear more from him, like he said.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would expect nothing less.
That's right.
So with that, of course, we're going to go ahead and wrap the episode up. Of course, I do want to go ahead and make the announcement, of course, for our next discussion. Actually, David, do you want to go ahead and announce what our next discussion is going to be about?
Absolutely. I'm super excited about this. I'm already back in it. I would encourage everybody to jump back in it. But Aaron and I are going to review the novel, 2014 novel, A New Dawn, which really introduced us to Kanan and to Hera. And like I was texting with you the other night, I'm going back through it and I'm just loving it. I'm taking my notes. and I can't wait to discuss this with you.
Oh, I can't either. Of course, New Dawn's awesome book. It was the pretty much the prequel to Star Wars Rebels, telling the story of Hera and Kanan. A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. So if y'all haven't read it, pick it up, read it real quick, along with us. Send in your thoughts and opinions of A New Dawn to Rebels Reactions at coffeewithkenobi.com. Let us know what you think, and of course we will get your thoughts in on the episode as well. If you want to continue talking Star Wars, whether it be the Mortis arc, Rebels, or even A New Dawn, David, how would you want them to get a hold of you?
Definitely on Twitter. First name David, and the underscore Modders. David underscore Modders. And by the way, Aaron, I did ask people to tweet or, you know, get a hold of me and tell me about, is it Leta Termond from season 5? Do we see her in Anakin's vision? I didn't have anybody tweet to me. I don't know if they've watched her. I got to watch it again. I think I'm going to watch it on Blu-ray. You know, of course, you can get it on Netflix, but I think that's her. I think Dave Filoni put her in knowing it would be 2 years from then, from season 3, that the Mortis arc came in. But I'd be curious to see if anybody notices that in the clip in Anakin's vision. But tweet to me if that's her or if that's not her. But yeah, I'd love to talk Star Wars with anybody who wants to do it. So that's the place to get a hold of me.
Yeah, definitely. Tweet David. Let him know what you saw in that clip from the Mortis arc. I'm kind of curious, too. If you want to talk Star Wars with me, of course, you can always hit me up on my personal Twitter, T.A. Harris, T.A. Harris 121079. That's the Twitter handle there. Of course, definitely make sure you check out the show Twitter, Rebels, or at Rebels Reactions there on Twitter. Definitely check out coffeewithkenobi.com for all the latest Star Wars news and some of the best blogs in the business there. We got some of the best bloggers in the world writing there at coffeewithkenobi.com. Make sure you go to iTunes and click subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of Rebels Reactions. And while you're there, subscribe to our sister shows as well, the flagship Coffee with Kenobi show, Comics with Kenobi, Lattes with Leia, and of course Randy's Legends Library as well. Check them all out. Subscribe to them. Definitely, I know they'd appreciate it. You would enjoy it as well. David, my friend, this has been an awesome discussion, don't you think?
Absolutely, and just great to talk with you, Star Wars. And again, we could have gone on for hours tonight. That just shows how thought-provoking this arc was. So I'm really glad that you said, hey, we need to cover this, and hopefully the people who listened thought we did a pretty good job on it.
I hope so, too, and I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did discussing it. Definitely stay tuned and send us your thoughts on A New Dawn. We're looking forward to it, having the same in-depth discussion on that book as we did the Mortis arc. So definitely, Randy, again, thank you for joining us. David, fun as always. Everybody, remember, this is the Rebels podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre 1. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.